Hello.
Hi, it's Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I am well.
Good.
Busy, but well.
I know. It's kind of that season.
Well, it's let's see how much we can cram in before everybody leaves on holiday break.
Yes, right?
And you get everybody going, hey, can you do this for me? I need it like tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, no. That's not going to happen.
All right. I'm realizing chat is not enabled to turn on. Sorry, I'm now needing to find. Here we go. Let's see. My event.
Sandra joined the call.
Hi, Sandra.
How are you?
I am good. I am learning.
Happy belated birthday, Sandra.
Thank you. I had a quick question. Kristen, I called the recruiter, but I didn't leave a message. I called her 3 times. She never picked up. Should I leave a message next time I call?
Yeah, I would say leave a message. What's the worst that can happen is that she doesn't call you back.
Okay.
Right? I know, like, ideally, you'd just get her live.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. But I would just leave a message. Like, leave a just nice, cheery, kind of shortest message saying that you were, you know, her name was passed to you and you would love to connect.
Okay. Definitely. That's what I'll do today after the call.
Great. Hi, everyone. Looks like Karen is here and Mandy's here. And Teresa, is that you?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I just enabled the chat just in case you needed to call in on the WebEx again so that we were all set for that too.
Okay, great. Nope, got a phone this time.
Okay, good. Welcome. So let's see, Alexis, I'm sure, will be here shortly. We'll start just in here in like 1 minute. All right, let's go ahead and get started. So we'll do what we do, because I know that we all come from busy places. We had other things going on before we hopped on this call. And so I like to start with just a little silence and breathing just to help us ground here together in this place. So if you can, like, turn off your email, give yourself permission to be present here for the next 75 minutes. And just take a moment to, like, plant your feet on the ground, feel yourself, in space, feel yourself present with all your colleagues here on the call, and just take a deep breath, just notice your breath, give yourself the opportunity to get centered. Take another deep breath and just know that whatever's been happening, however you've been feeling about this season or what you've accomplished or what you haven't accomplished, you're excited, you're not excited, that's all absolutely perfect. You're where you belong. Take another deep breath, and as you do that, just scan your body and notice if there's any place where you're holding some tension. Maybe you need to drop your shoulders, let your jaw relax. All right. Welcome, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Cheryl. Hi, Alexis. Everyone's here. So
yeah, I had trouble connecting, but I got it.
Great, good. And I may, Cheryl, need to mute you just because there's some feedback on your line. If you want to speak, just hit star 2 on your – are you on the phone?
I am.
Yeah, just hit star 2 and it'll raise your hand and then I can unmute you.
Thank you.
And I'll keep testing it to see if it goes away too. So I would like to just do a quick check-in, each person, like just 30 seconds or so to just let us know how you're doing, give us a chance to hear your voice. So who wants to go first? Like, it can be what you're working on, what you're not working on. It can be like, you know, how you're feeling today, just like a quick 30 second sort of, you know, take the temperature. And Cheryl, I'll unmute you so you have an opportunity to jump in. Who wants to go first?
Hey, it's Alexis. I'll be quick. Chaos has once again taken over my life. So I'm just trying to get back to non-chaos, where I enjoy everything a lot better.
Awesome. Keep your standards very low and you're guaranteed success.
Lower my standards. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Welcome, Alexis. Who's next? Don't be shy.
I can go. This
take a turn. Oh, go ahead.
This is Sandra. This has been a good week. I came back to the East Coast. I celebrated my birthday with my friends and my family. And I've just been getting a lot of good feedback, you know, that things will be turning around soon. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the new year, the holidays, just, you know, more thankful for everything that's coming.
Awesome. Hey, Cheryl, go ahead.
I've been actually just doing a lot of reflecting and answering on the Facebook page, getting a lot of good conversations back and forth. And I met with my accountability buddy last week, so that was exciting. And I'm just sort of holding my own this week.
Awesome. Great. So lots of support for you. Thank you.
And this is Chris, and I met with Cheryl, who's my accountability buddy, last week, and we set up our regular meetings. Life and work have been busy but good, and I found my SMIT, as you saw at the I put it on the Facebook page, so all is well.
Awesome. Congratulations. Like, that's how did it feel to find your SMIT?
There was a big sigh of relief.
I know what it is.
I can name it.
Good. Great. That's a great step towards building awareness and really making the kind of shifts that you want to make. So congratulations. Who's next? You're all going to take a turn. So Monica's not here yet, I believe. She may be dropping in a little later. She had a patient. Mandy, Teresa, Karen, you're all going to take a turn. So who wants to be next?
This is Teresa Alvonex. Just been walking into the person that I want to be, you know, more confident, more assertive, just finding my passion with people and work. And it's working out for me.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Would you tell us more in the Facebook group?
I haven't been on the Facebook because I don't have internet in my house anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a little bit of a challenge, but we just worked something out to get it back on. So I will be on Facebook a little more.
Great, because I just imagine like what you said is like the tip of an amazing little iceberg, and I don't know about everybody else on the call, but I felt myself feeling very curious about you know, building confidence and stepping more into yourself, and how, and like, how are you doing that and what's working for you? Because I'm curious and would love to hear more.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to tell you more, but I don't want to take up that time right now. And I will try to explain that, you know, on the conference call. I mean, on
That'd
the
be great.
Page.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah, tell us, definitely. And Facebook page is a great place to do that. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, Mandy.
This is Mandy. Things are kind of slowing down at work, which is nice, and I'm getting ready to go home to Wisconsin for the holidays, which I'm looking forward to. I haven't seen my family in a while. And Karen and I met twice to go for hikes and talk about stuff, so that was really awesome. Things are looking good.
That's great. Are there? So there, you guys are in. Are there three of you in Atlanta, Georgia?
I don't know. This is Teresa. I'm in Atlanta.
So Karen and Amanda, you're in Atlanta too, right?
We are.
Yeah.
So we should all get together.
I was gonna say, give Teresa a call. I'm like, I think there's three of you in Atlanta.
That's great. So I just joined them. I'm gonna find out where we're gonna meet next.
Fabulous. Teresa, is it okay with you, or the three of you, is it okay with you if I just email all three of you so you have each other's email contact?
Sure, that's fine.
That's
okay,
fine.
And that way, great. I'll do that. And that way you're not relying on Facebook.
Thank you.
Thank
sure.
you.
Yeah, sure. Karen?
Yep, it's Karen. As Mandy said, we got together a couple times, and that was good. She convinced me to forward my resume to her, so I've done that, my updated resume. other than that, life has really just kind of been in the way with the holidays, and a house project has kind of gotten in my way a bit. I got some deadlines that I just I got to meet. So anyway, some of these things have been a little bit more on hold than I would have liked, but I'm trying to make sure I also sleep.
Great. Well, it sounds like Mandy is already like doing her job as your buddy and making sure that you continue to take baby steps.
Yes.
Awesome. So I also wanted to check in. So Teresa and Mandy, we last call, we gave each person a few minutes to talk about what's going on for them and get support from the group. And we ran out of time, or we didn't have enough time to get to the two of you. And I want to make sure that you get your time. So we could use that time today if you'd like, or if you feel like, you know what, today's not, I would like to save that for another day when you have something burning that you want to share with the group. We could do that too. So it's really up to you. Would you like to have a few minutes to share what you're working on and get support from the group, or would you like to save that for another day?
This is Teresa. I'm going to take advantage of that now so that I don't have to worry about getting on Facebook and doing that, because
Great.
That might happen for a couple more days. But, you know, when I say that I'm walking into who I am, I realize just through our conversations and just eliminating fear from my life and just realizing that I, you know, have to get better at taking care of me. I understand that a lot of the things that I don't do are because I'm fearful that I will let someone else down, and all the time I have been letting myself down because I've not been the person that I think I am. I'm a very relationship-oriented person. I love people. I love being in relationship, and a lot of times I cannot be in relationships that benefit me because I'm so busy facilitating relationships that help other people. And so I have to, I had to pause and just look at me. What makes me happy, and what gives me energy? And I get energy from serving people, and there's nothing wrong with serving people. People look at that sometimes in my work as kissing up or trying to, you know, get in good with certain people. But I realize I can't control what they think, and I have to be who I am. And that's who I am. So I'm going to walk in that, and I'm going to deal with whatever comes from that and just, you know, be happy in who that newfound person in me is.
I'm wondering, Teresa, like, who else in this group can recognizes that feeling to to please other people or to serve, be busy, what did you say? Be busy making sure that all of these relationships serve other people before yourself first. Like, who else could relate to that?
Yeah, and you know, we've talked.
I can.
Good.
Like Cheryl's lighting up, Sandra's lighting up.
Wow.
If Monica were here, I think Monica would definitely light up. Go ahead. You said, wow, yeah. Teresa. Like, what's it
yeah,
like?
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to encourage you guys to just take time and think about, you know, doing for yourself what you do for other people. And that's really the switch that I've made. I still make people my priority, but I am my priority as well in the things that I want in my life, aside from my children, aside from the people that I work for, are important. And they have to be somewhere on my progress map as well. And they weren't. So I just had to, you know, this group has caused me to pause and take a look at that. And yesterday I had an interview for a job that I felt way, I didn't feel really qualified for. But when I read the job description, it spoke to me because it's a job that will allow me to pour into people and help their development. And that's what I love to do. I know that I may not, you know, have all the analytical skills that this job requires, but when you have a passion for people and you can help people achieve what they want to achieve and you know what that is and it's not what you want them to achieve, I think that you're able to kind of build people. And that's what I'm good at. That's what I've learned. That's what I do. And I haven't done that for, you know, myself or, you know, for people lately. So I applied for the job, I got the interview, and so I'm still waiting.
Congratulations.
But I was proud of myself for at least taking – I was going to cancel the interview because it was like, oh, you know, the fear came in, and, you know, but I can't be afraid. I have to go forward and just try.
Yeah, and so, Teresa, like I really – so first of all, congratulations, and I really like you're taking such amazing steps. And I also want to point out, like many of us make up a story that we have to navigate this on our own. We, you know, that we've got to be tough or that we've got to handle it. And you have a whole community of people here who are ready to support you, you know, myself included. And so in those situations where you're prepping for an interview or you're feeling scared, and I know you've had some, you know, connectivity issues that you're getting resolved, but reach out to your buddy, like, definitely like reach out to the folks in Atlanta and go for a walk to get prepped for your interview, post to the Facebook group, schedule a session with me, like let us be here for you. And I think that's going to be one of your particular edges. And, you know, when you and I first met, right, this is what it was about. How can you also, like, in addition to taking care of yourself, like how can you let us and the people who love you and who are around you hold this with you? Right? Not like caretake you or anything like that, but how can you let us hold it with you and let us support you in what you're creating for yourself?
Right. You're absolutely right. May I share with the group my first experience with you?
Yeah.
So when I first met Christina, I was like, to say like in shambles is putting it mildly. I went to a Weight Watchers function and they had these little snippets of opportunity to meet with a mentor, to do different things that indulge yourself. And I literally fell apart in Christina's arms, you know, and she'd done something that was really profound for me. You know, I think she saw right through my soul where she said, you know, Teresa, you decide for other people what they can handle. And that was something that I've done all my life. When people have a need, I just kind of jump right in and fill it without letting them work at their full capacity first. And so she sat me on her lap, literally in front of like clearly 1,000 people.
Probably.
Would you say?
I said probably.
Yeah. And she held me and she said, I just want you to sit here and just understand what it feels like to be held and know that there are people out there that will hold you if you let them, and you don't have to just do it all on your own. No one has ever done that for me, and it was such a profound moment for me that I realized at that moment that I had to change the way I operated. And I've had a lot of trouble, you know, finding money to do that, finding time to do that, but then And even in that, Christina has just been like, Teresa, well, you know, you have to decide. And so I'm still finding that way, but I have done one thing. I have decided. And I think that decided has given me that decision has given me so much clarity. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Right. Like that awareness. And thank you for sharing that story. It was just, to be perfectly transparent, like a really powerful moment for me too. And so that's your edge, right? That's like the edge that you're working on. Like you've gotten this clarity. You're getting to the place where you're like, okay, I understand that I have to make myself a priority in all this. I have to have relationships that serve me as well as your desire to serve others. And this is a great sandbox, right? This is for all of you. Like this kind of a group, which we've talked about, we're creating a community of our own intentions, of our own choice. We're creating relationships in a way that we really wish, you know, relationships were in the rest of the world. And this is a place, Teresa, and for all of you, for you to experiment with the kinds of things that you're wanting to bring to other parts of your life. And for Teresa, for you, like, let us help you. Let us hold this with you. Let us hold you, like, you know, come to us because we are here for you and we're here for each other. And I think you're going to find that this is a really powerful place to practice that because it's safe, right? We've created a container and we've designed these kinds of things with one another. Still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah. So how does that sound?
That sounds just like what happened. And I'd like to hear other people speak about, you know, that sandbox and just, I think for me, it's just trusting. And I want everybody that is involved in this to know that you can be trusted and that when you trust somebody with holding you, that amazing things can happen for you.
Yeah. So anybody want to give Teresa, just like a couple people want to give Teresa just a short reflection on what you hear, what you're noticing?
Well, this is Chris, and I have to say that's a really powerful statement and acknowledgement of yourself because it's hard to put yourself out there and admit. It's almost like when you know you don't have to do it alone, but it's almost like you're saying to yourself, well, why can't I do it on my own? Am I not strong enough? Am I not powerful enough? When really it's strong to let others help you. So I go through that myself. So I'm glad that you shared this and shared this with others so it can help us to trust and share and ask for help.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
I think, this is Sandra, so I think once you set the goal and you've made yourself a priority, all the other obstacles will, all the barriers that you've been putting in place are going to slowly, you know, just fade away. You have a clear focus and you know you're the priority and now you're working towards that goal. So I think everything else will come into play.
I think you're right. Thank you.
Cheryl, you aren't muted anymore because it seems like the feedback has gone away. So go ahead, Cheryl.
Oh, awesome. I just wanted to thank Teresa. I think that once you do it, Teresa, I don't know if it's true for you, but once you start reflecting and sharing, you can zero in on the two things that are most important, which you obviously had the opportunity to do before, and that was letting someone hold the burden with you. And actually, the trust factor is huge because if you can learn to trust one person, once trust is broken, it's really hard to go forward with anything because you sort of go into your own little shell. So you should be really proud of yourself that you recognize that to come forward, that I still have troubles with trust myself. So I know that that's a really hard thing to do. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, and so Cheryl, I love that your statement too. It's like back to that sense that this is a sandbox where we all get to play and we get to practice that kind of trust, right? Allowing other people to hold us, holding others, you know, without drama. So this is a place where we get to practice all of those things, where each one of you gets to be working on that, whatever that edge is for yourself. So Teresa, do you feel complete for now?
Complete, No, I don't feel
meaning like complete with this conversation for now.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you done?
Done.
No, I mean like, are you complete? Sorry, that was total coaching.
No, like I have like five more. Yes, I feel complete with this conversation right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're like, yep, I got everything I needed. I have got it figured out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mandy, how about you? Do you want to use a little bit of time today, or would you like to hold it for a time in the future?
I'd like to use it, although I'm not really sure how that's going to work exactly.
Okay, well, like, why don't you share? Yeah, go ahead.
I can't say I need this. I mean, I know what I need, and I have no idea how to go after it.
So why don't
maybe
you
I
tell
just
us
need some feedback
need.
And some ideas.
Yeah, tell us what you need and trust that the group is, that we are, like our collective wisdom is very smart and astute, and there will be ideas and suggestions for you.
Okay. So it's not really a new idea for me, but I want to start my own business. And I've got like a Tolstoy novel of ideas that I've written over years and years across different things that I've studied. And I don't know what to do. Like, I try to think, if I didn't have to go to a job or do something for money, what would I really want to do and how would I want to contribute? And that's kind of where I get stuck, because then I start thinking about, well, okay, but you do have to still earn a living, so then how are you actually going to make that work? And then I've just been kind of batting around that box for a good long time, and I want to get out of that box.
Mandy, can you just take us one step further into the kind of business that you're really hoping to start? So I think that's an important detail for the group to know.
So even that has evolved over the years. I mean, I've spent 20 years studying health and healing, and I don't, like, it's going to be kind of health and healing at a really, really high level, but none of the things I've studied, like, it's not going to be massage therapy or naturopathic medicine or yoga. And I mean, I feel like there are some big themes. So I want to sort of teach cooperation over competition. And that's something I've been interested in since I was a kid. Like, why do we have to compete so much? Why can't we cooperate to solve all these different global problems that are really kind of coming to a screeching head, you know, right about now. I'm also really interested in environmental issues and environmental conservation and education. And then, you know, personal health and healing, because that's kind of where it has to start. You kind of have to take care of yourself before you can, you know, focus on some of these other things. And I just don't know how to accomplish that either in pieces or kind of as a whole.
And so what kinds of thoughts and feedback would be most helpful to you from your colleagues and friends here?
Yeah, and that's the question I don't know how to answer. Like, what do I need? I know what I need. I don't know how to go about it, because I keep, you know, trying to figure it out by myself, and that's probably part of the problem, and I still don't have an answer.
Are you looking for, just trying to give people some guidance so that we can give you, you know, thoughts and feedback that's most useful to you? Are you looking for, like, creative ideas about how to structure a business around this, like sort of next steps, things to research, people to talk to? Like, what would be most helpful to you?
I think what would I share? That's the piece. I think once I have that figured out, I've seen tons of ways of, you know, setting up a business in order to kind of disseminate information and to make that work. It's just sort of the what.
Okay. All right. So, like, what is this business going to be about? That's your question.
Right.
So given the things that Mandy has said, everyone, if you just go into a creative space, knowing that whatever you throw out there doesn't have to be the right answer for Mandy, but just giving her some sort of more fuel for the fire, what possibilities do you see? What creative ideas do you have for where she might go next at defining what this business is going to be.
No, it's Karen, and I mentioned, Mandy, I think I mentioned this to you when I saw you, but Christina, this summer, your Rebel Corporate Rebel series, you interviewed.
Are you still there, Carrie?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not hearing any. I thought I'm on the phone by myself.
Now we hear you again. You said the summer Corporate Rebel series I interviewed, and then you dropped out, but you're back. So
I don't know why. Okay, anyway, you interviewed Marianne Cantwell.
Mm-hmm.
And she put out this, you know, how to kind of start a business when you don't really know what you want to do necessarily, or maybe you do, but you still have your day job. And the whole concept of just putting a project out there, you know, it could be any project, something you think you're interested in, as a way to kind of test the water, to see, to get some learning, to get some feedback. And, you know, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You move on to another project. But it's something, it's kind of a safe way of experimenting without, you know, compromising everything else, because it's just a project, literally.
I love what you're pointing to, Karen, which is like, just go and do something, right? Just like start, take some sort of action. You know, it could be anything, right? Like teaching a little class, inviting people to your living room to try on a little workshop thing you want to test around this. excuse me, it could be like anything could be defined as that project. And Mandy, Marianne Cantwell, if you go to her website, I can put it in the Facebook group, but it's Free Range Humans is the name of her business. And she has, I think, a number of free resources. I mean, she has paid resources as well, right? You can hire her. She has some free resources that I've heard from other people are extremely helpful. So that might be
sounds awesome.
Check her out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The reason I mentioned, I like the idea because in my mind, it's very low risk. It's a nice way to not necessarily have to commit to something, but to explore something and, you know, to get, you know, good feedback and just a lot of learning out of it. You know, what works, what doesn't, you tweak it and you could do another project, you know, tweaked on the first project, you know, and however you define that project.
You know, it's coming up for me. It's actually kind of, Chris, it's kind of like your blog, right? It's just a matter of getting started, putting it out there, creating the commitment to it and starting something. And then you're going to get feedback and information and it's going to grow into something else or it's going to create opportunities and you'll start to know which doors to follow, which places to go. But getting started is what's actually going to create the momentum. Thinking about it's just going to create more thinking.
And just, and this is Chris, a couple ideas that just to piggyback off of, I think it was Karen who was sharing the idea. I love the idea of doing a project and just throwing something out there. And something that we do in a volunteer association that I used to run, we actually would connect with things like Chamber of Commerce's, and it would give people the ability to try out their training and development skills. Maybe they wanted to get into a new field, but they didn't have that opportunity in their business to try and do some kind of training. So we would contact and recommend they contact Chamber of Commerce's. And what they would do is you could actually do a workshop for the small businesses within the area. And do it for free, and they throw it out there, and then you never know what may come off of that. So that's just one idea, is reaching out to those types of groups to test the waters.
Great idea.
Chris, yeah, it's Karen. Chris, that's actually a really good idea, because I think a lot of times we forget that we have enormous amounts of expertise in something. And we forget that there's a lot of people who could actually would be interested in knowing that or benefit from that knowledge, even at what we consider a very basic level, but it's way more than they know. And, and I've been in that situation myself where I've, you know, taken very basic level things on something somebody else was an expert on and thought, wow, that's very interesting. But, you know, I wouldn't have known where to start had somebody else not offered it in an adult ed course or through the Chamber of Commerce or somewhere.
You know, one of my coaches tells this really funny story about when she was first starting her coaching business. She had a coach, and her coach said to her, like, what's something that you know how to do that you don't even think about? Like, it's so natural to you, you don't even think about it. And she's like, well, I know how to network. And she said, great, I want you to go out and train people how to network. And she talked to us. She did her networking training for a group of us. And one of my friends, one of her tips in there was, like, how do you introduce yourself at a networking event? Like, the awkwardness of you walk in, and how do you actually, like, go up to anyone and start a conversation? And you just feel so, you know, icky and nervous. And she said, you walk up and you say, hi, my name is Christina. Right? And like, this friend of mine was like, oh my God, that's like a game changer. That's like, that's revolutionary. You've changed my life, right? With something as so obvious and simple to her as like, hi, my name is Christina. And so you just don't even know, to Karen's point, like what you know that's so obvious to you that is not obvious to others. The other thing that's striking me about this, Mandy, is like, so when you're building a business, you want to make sure that you have means of support, right? So that you're not building a business from a place of financial desperation, because that's just never going to fly energetically, or it's not going to be fun for you, and people can feel that desperation. And that can be like, you know, you're being supported by your partner. It doesn't have to be a 12-hour a day job at Delta. It could be, you could go be a barista or a waitress or do something else. I mean, work in a bookstore. Like, there are ways you could potentially, if you figure out like, what do you need to earn to sustain your life, to buy yourself more time or less stress to free up that energy and time then to put into your business. That could also potentially be very helpful. I don't know what that threshold is for you, but that's something else for you to think about.
I think a lot about that.
Yeah.
And I'm not leaving my day job anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, at least not for 6 months, but because my contract is 6 more months. But yeah, I think about that a lot. I don't want to be creating from, I tried this already, like creating from that desperate state.
Mm-hmm. But you also don't necessarily have to, you know, meet your obligations, right? You know, stay in your current job for 6 months. Like, there's no rush. There's no hurry here. But you also don't have to make the assumption that, all right, I've got to, like, work myself to the bone. And then, you know, with whatever tiny little shreds of energy I have left in the evening and the weekends, build my business. Now, some people are perfectly capable of doing that. And there may be ways that you can take some of the pressure off of what you need to earn, so that you have more energy and time to build your business. And that's just, you know, you can work out the timing of all of that in a way that works best for you. So, Mandy, do you feel like you've gotten some good ideas, at least some good places to start?
I do. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, and I, you know, and those of you who feel free to post something in the Facebook group and tag Mandy if you have an idea for her. I have another thought, Mandy, actually, that I'll share in the Facebook group because I think it's useful for everyone. And so if you have other thoughts or other ideas or things come to you tomorrow or when you're driving, you know, in your car later today, like, feel free to throw it in there. So thanks, Mandy.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm going to shift gears. So Cheryl, I remember you saying, I don't know if it was on our first call or our second call, you're like, when are we going to get out of our own way? Like, I'm ready to get out of my own way. And so we are going to do some of that today. And I want to also say, like, we've been doing that since the very first call, right? So getting attached to a vision, being able to see a bigger picture for yourself, stepping into conscious relationships with others who can support you. Those are all ways to get out of your own way. And I really wanted to go there with you all first. So I'm going to talk to you guys for a minute, and then there'll be some opportunities for you to chime in, or I'll ask you some questions about the assessment that you took and that kind of thing. And so just for a minute, I'm going to talk. It's important, I think, when we're starting to think about, like, how do we create the path forward, that we start in a place where we're really attaching ourselves and getting committed to our vision, right? Getting understanding what that SMIT is, where it is that we're headed. Because sometimes if we start in the place of saboteurs and saboteur land and the ways that we can derail ourselves, then we can get stuck in that. We can get stuck in that kind of negative saboteur, derailing kind of world. And I want to make sure that that you understand that it's an important piece of the puzzle, but it's not the place that you want to get stuck. And so it is something to build awareness around and to understand, and that's what we're going to start today. And so one thing I also want to say before we start to dive deep talking about saboteurs and the ways that we get in our own ways, that sometimes just by talking about saboteurs, and any of you who've listened to my webinars have probably heard me say this, that like our saboteurs can start to show up, right? We can start to presence them. It's another coaching term, like that means like bring them here and have them present. And then they can start to like play all sorts of tricky games with us, and including mine, which is interesting. Mine have not shown up in preparing for today, but sometimes when I start to do work around saboteurs, my own saboteurs can start to come in and sort of swirl around. And so I just be aware that they can enter the space, they can enter your space. And so let's just keep a light touch and kind of a lighthearted approach to this topic so that we don't get derailed by our saboteurs, even within our own group or within ourselves as we think about this topic. So before I begin, I'm curious, like, what do you all already know about saboteurs? And feel free to just popcorn, like, put it out there.
I know that they may come from things that you carry forward with you from the past.
Yes.
And you've learned to deal with them in a certain way.
Yes. And I'll share a little bit more about that too, Cheryl, but that's exactly, thank you.
They are the voices in my head.
Was that you, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can't hear her.
She said they're the voices in my head. Sorry, I have headphones on, so I can hear
and
everything.
I was eating and saying that at the same time.
No eating.
Well, and what's funny is that you're literally the voices in my head because I have headphones, I have a headset on, so that was funny. Other things?
They can be louder than other voices, like the voice of truth.
And ultimately, you have to choose whether or not you listen to them.
Yes.
Are they not sort of little, I'm going to call them negative for a minute, for you can put the better word in there later, but little ways that you like use them to protect yourself or something?
Yes. That's a big one. We'll talk about that more. So let me give you, this is all super helpful, and you guys are already really, was there anything anybody else wanted to say? I want to make sure you didn't, if you have a burning contribution here. Okay, so here's the thing about saboteurs. Everything you have all said is absolutely true. Fundamentally, our saboteurs are based in fear. And we can be making our decisions in our life based on what we're afraid of, or based on what we want. And so a fear-based decision looks like this. Oh my God, if I quit this job, we're not gonna have any, I'm giving you a real example from my own real decision-making, right? If I quit this job, we're not gonna have any health insurance. Like my family could completely go under financially. You know, what's gonna happen? Like my husband will have to be the person, you know, who makes all the money, and he makes a lot less money than I do. Right? So that's what fear-based saboteur decision-making sounds like, as opposed to what I want, right? And what you want, which sounds more like, you know, how do I want my family's lifestyle to be? Like, how do I want to be feeling about the work that I do every day? You know, what's really like best for me and my family going forward? Is this workplace really working for me? Is it really giving me what I want anymore or making me feel good about myself? Right? And so, That's, I just wanted to illuminate, like, our saboteurs are all about fear, and their number one job is to make sure that nothing changes. They want to make sure that we stay where we are, even if it's terrible, like that we do not take any risks and we don't put ourselves out there. And they see their number one job as keeping us safe, right? Their job is safety. So that means no risks, no stretches, no like taking a different job, no moving to a different city, right? And so being aware that their number one job is, they see their job as to protect you and to keep you safe, can be one of the paths to helping to understand them, right? And to understand sort of what their role is in their life. Cheryl, you are absolutely right. Like, they come from a place in our past somewhere where we needed them to actually stay safe, you know, as a child or as a teenager, you know, those places where you didn't want to stick your neck out too far because you were afraid people would think you were too much or too big or you were embarrassed. And so, you know, you built up these coping mechanisms or these ways of staying safe. And as you've matured and grown into adulthood, your saboteur doesn't mature and grow with you. It stays back there. And it stays in that sort of old, kind of old story. A few things as well, like Teresa, you said, like they sometimes are louder than other voices. And they actually are so tricky that they make it seem like what they're saying is true. And we frequently will accept it as true, when it's just a story and it's not truer than the other things that are true. And I love that you said, Teresa, like they're louder than other voices, like the voice of truth. And once you start to really get to know your saboteur and know how it operates, you will be able to distinguish the way that it operates with you from that voice of truth. And so what we're doing here is building awareness, because the sense of awareness is what's going to help you identify it and be able to quiet it down. A couple more things about saboteurs. So sometimes, in some ways, you can really celebrate when your saboteur shows up, because they show up in times of change. They show up when we're feeling vulnerable. They show up when you're getting ready to make a bold move. So, you know, the first time I did a webinar, which was just a little bit under a year ago, I'd never done a webinar before. You better believe my saboteurs were all over me. Oh yeah, you can't handle the technology. What if everything goes wrong? What if no one shows up? What if you flub your content? You better work really, really hard to make sure that you don't screw up, right? And so, in a time when you're really stretching, and many of you are, you're thinking about different positions, you are, you know, interviewing for jobs, you are putting out blogs, you're, you know, asking yourself big questions about what you want next. These are all like really important stretches that are based in the energy of what you want. And your saboteurs may get louder and stronger, and they're like clawing for their own self-protection, because you're moving on and saying, hey, guess what? Like, buddy, I don't really need you anymore. Like, thank you. I really appreciate you trying to keep me safe, but I'm going to continue to move forward towards what I want. And they may fight back. So just be aware that, like, when they show up, it's because you're moving forward. It's because you're taking steps. It's because you're being brave. So I want to stop there for a second and just sort of give you guys a chance to share, like, if you had a chance to take the assessment, like, what saboteurs were the strongest for you? And if you didn't take the assessment, or you're also already aware of some of the things your saboteur says to you, like, what are the things they say? Share that as well. Like, so let's shine some sunshine on the saboteurs in this group.
This is Teresa, and I just want to say, yesterday during my interview, they asked me a question. They said, what do you do better than any of the other candidates that we're interviewing? And that was a trick question. I don't know who you're interviewing, but I said, I don't know how many people you're interviewing, but I do know that, you know, one of the things that you're looking for is someone who can, you know, garner relationships and build relationships. And that's my passion. That's what I do. So if you ask me what I love to do, I can tell you that, but I can't tell you, you know, what makes me better for this job than anyone else. But once I said that, my saboteur jumped right in and said, well, look at the relationships in your life. You know, what's so good about them? You know, the ones here at work. And I have some definite challenges at work. And I had to remind myself that, you know, these relationships are not working, because of anything that I'm doing or not doing. It's just decisions that people have made not to be in relationship with me. but, you know, my saboteur would have taken total advantage of that and wrecked my interview had I entertained, you know, that thought that had come to my mind.
Absolutely, right? I love that story because it's like, okay, here you are in this moment. You're speaking your truth. You are taking a risk. And like, even in the, like, live moment, sitting in that chair, your saboteur comes in and is like, yep, check it out. You don't walk your talk, you know? Like, so fantastic awareness, Teresa. And please do, if you haven't had a chance, take the assessment. It'll literally, it's in the Facebook group. If you need me to email it to you because you're not, you know, because of the internet issues, I'll just email it out to everyone.
Okay, thank you, Christina.
Yeah, because it literally, the assessment will take you like 2 to 3 minutes to do, and it's really helpful to know the nature of your saboteur.
Okay, so, thanks.
Yeah, great example. Others, if you've taken the assessment, like what kind of, who are your top saboteurs and what kinds of things do they say to you, whether you've taken the assessment or not?
Well, this is Cheryl, and I know you're all going to be shocked and fall off your chair that I got hypervigilant and controller as a tie with 0.1 away was a stickler.
Okay.
So I was, like, reading through all those things. I'm like, it sounds like me, but it doesn't. But, like, I was like, okay, yeah, they got me.
You said hypervigilant, and what was the second one?
Hypervigilant and controller are tied, like, 9 out of 10. And 8.7 is, like, stickler. So, like, they
awesome.
May as well all be married.
Awesome. So when you see that, like, can you see how that shows up in your life or in your, you know, your daily existence?
Well, actually, I started laughing because I just found so much humor in it, and I don't know why, because it's not a funny thing, but at the moment when I did the test, I was just laughing. I was like, how can you do this one simple thing and it point directly to what you figure is your biggest fault? That you've learned to do this, as and I treated it as not a fault but a strength. Some days it's a weakness, some days it's a strength. But this thing pointed out, I just laughed because they were all tied. I was like, oh, my God.
So you're pointing us actually, Cheryl, in a really fabulous direction, which is sometimes, and this is one of the strategies for managing your saboteur, and we'll be talking about those, you know, in a few minutes towards the end of our call, but I want to highlight one here because you're bringing it up, and that is, it is frequently the case that your saboteur is one of your strengths on steroids, right? So your saboteur comes in and hijacks something, right? So to use myself as an example, you know, I work hard. I get a lot done. I'm very productive. I'm, you know, I'm reliable, and I like to do really excellent work. And that is all really, really good. Right? It makes me successful. I feel accomplished. I serve the people that I want to serve. You know, it serves my community when I serve on boards, like, right? So that's really good. But my strongest saboteur is a hyperachiever, right? So it goes into this overdrive of like, well, your self-worth is tied up with your productivity. And so it takes these strengths of mine and puts them on overdrive and amps them up in a way that doesn't serve me. And it's actually really damaging to me and holds me back in some ways. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think exactly what you just said was a good point. And I just went, yeah, that's right. My saboteur is actually on steroids because when I first started way, way back with all my problems and everything that dragged me down, I was a catastrophizer. Well, I see that as my strength on steroids. I'm hypervigilant, but I was a catastrophizer to the point where it just wasn't real.
And so it's useful to look at what your saboteur can teach you, right? So, like, what is the thing that is your strength that your saboteur is pointing you to? And then strategies for being able to kind of scale it back out of that hyperdrive back into the realm of strength. So thank you for giving us an opening to talk about that, Cheryl.
Thanks.
So other people, the saboteurs that were illuminated in the assessment or awareness of what your saboteur says to you. And don't be shy because we've all got them.
This is Chris. I'll sell mine to the highest bidder.
What is it?
So my top one is controller, not surprising.
Ooh.
And I'm tied for number two between hyperachiever and stickler.
And do you have some sense? Like, how when you saw that, like, how was the recognition of that?
Pretty spot on in terms of I am a controller, and if for anybody who does DISC communication styles, I am a D, so I do drive. I like to control. Nobody can do it as good as I can do it. And the other piece is, you know, is that sense of accomplishment is always short-lived because I'm always going to the next thing. So it's mm-hmm. that external, that hyperachiever. And you know, sometimes I think that does cause me not to act and take risks because if I'm not going to be doing, if I can't do it and do it well, then why bother and why do it? So I think that kind of holds me back from that. So, yes, I do see those.
Fabulous. Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Sandra, Alexis, Karen, Mandy.
It's Karen. So I'm looking at mine, and I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, and I know there's no right or wrong, but I've got all these. I've got a couple of tens and, you know, 3/8, 2/8, and 9, and 8.5. It's like seven going down to 0 or 1. So I'm kind of thinking, wow, I got a lot of saboteurs that are pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. So I think first of all, like many of us have many, many saboteurs, right? And I actually think, so there's a second assessment that's part of this, person's book. Hang on, I'm just gonna, okay, I think the feedback's gone. Okay, and I'll send out that second assessment as well. And I think it's gonna be really useful, particularly for you, Karen. I didn't include it in this initial one just because I didn't wanna confuse things, but it is an assessment of how much of your brain space is being taken up by your saboteur as opposed to your creative self. Uh-huh. And if you're spending something like, you know, I forget what the threshold is, they'll talk about that in the results, but if, you know, there, it may be, Karen, that your brain space is spending more time wrapped up in saboteur voices than in your creative voices, and so they're all showing up, even though I very seriously doubt you have all of those. My guess is you're being hard on yourself, right? And like you're sort of strong judge, because we all have a strong judge saboteur, like your strong judge took that assessment for you.
I don't know. I thought I was being reasonably honest.
See, I mean, I don't know for sure, right? So I don't know for sure, but just as this is an inkling, like, I would say pick the top two.
Okay.
Just from a practical standpoint, pick the top two.
Yeah. Okay.
So what were your top two?
Well, they were stickler and hypervigilant. I was shocked it wasn't controller.
If you want that one, you can totally have it. But
well, that was an 8. The other two were 10. So, I mean, it's still up there.
Okay. Yeah. So you're stickler and you're hypervigilant. And did those, so you kind of missed the controller, but when you look at those, did they sound, like, how did they sound in terms of, like, familiarity? Did they resonate for you?
Oh, they're all totally familiar. And actually, hyper-rational was higher than controller. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So, just let that sink in. And we'll continue to build awareness around this. I'm going to have a really fun homework assignment for you guys to do with this that I think you're really going to like. That's going to even help deepen your understanding of those even more, Karen. And you only get to do it on one or two of them. You do not have to do it on all, like, 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever the total number is.
Okay.
All right. Who's next?
This is Sandra. I actually didn't take the assessment.
No worries. Do you have an awareness of the kinds of voices, the kinds of things your saboteur says to you?
I have a fear of, like, not having, like running out of like resources or money or time, or so I guess it's like it paralyzes me, like, always to go the safe route, which I don't always do, but that, I think that's my saboteur. I think about the what if, like, what if something happens, what if I don't have health insurance, what if, you know, what if
and, you know, there's not enough to go around, what if there's not enough for everyone, right? What if there's not mm-hmm. enough of this, that, the other thing? When I email out the assessment, do take it because I have an inkling about which one might be yours. But
okay.
Yeah, I think it would be, I think you'll really enjoy having a label for it and be having a place to put this awareness. Yeah. Thank you. Alexis, Mandy?
This is Mandy. My two biggest ones were the pleaser and the stickler.
We got a lot of sticklers. How did that resonate for you?
Yep, that's pretty much me. And I think the stickler got, like, maybe that's always been there, but it's definitely gotten worse where I work right now over the last couple of years. And
yeah.
It's kind of a problem that I see in myself that I really don't like seeing.
You know, I think I love what you're pointing to, too, is like I said, they can show up when you're taking a leap. They can also show up in a time of stress. Like I can get hyper productive or hyper achieving, right, even with my kids when I'm starting to feel stressed out. And I'm like, how come you're not doing your homework? You know, you could fail, right? Like, great, I'm passing it around, right, in a time of stress. And so being aware that that may be also happening for you, too, that it's like a default place that we can go to easily or just allow it to have more control than we want. Alexis, bring us home on this particular section.
I haven't had a chance to take the assessment, but yeah. I know that my two things that stick out to me as I was hearing everyone talk was, okay, let's go with the second one because I forget what the first one was. I like to be very efficient with everything I do. So if I'm not, so maybe it's like a perfectionist thing. If I'm not being efficient, then I'm just not okay with it.
Yeah.
And then being hard on myself was the first thing I was thinking.
This is good. I mean, you guys are, it's just you're developing such an amazing sense of awareness already. And just even naming it, whether you took the assessment or not, is extremely powerful because when we start to shine a flashlight and put our saboteurs into the light of day, they start to lose their power over us. And I've had people who I teach this as a webinar, and I've had people after the webinar email me and say, I had no idea that I even had a saboteur. I just thought it was me. Right, I just thought it was how I was. Like, thank you for just for even illuminating that this is a possibility. That kind of awareness is life changing. So I want to give you. I'm going to give you your homework assignment first, and then I want to talk about some strategies for handling your saboteur. And I will post the homework assignment in the group, or I'll have Jennifer post it for you. And so you don't have to capture all of these questions. You don't have to take notes on it. I'll provide. And that is to write a biography of your saboteur. And I remember when one of my coaches assigned me this exercise and I thought, oh gosh, this is silly. Like, this is a really stupid thing to do. I'm not going to waste my time, whatever. And then I was sitting at like my daughter's soccer game or something. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. Like, I'm going to give it 30 minutes. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to answer these questions. And it was so powerful and it was really fun. So let it be a fun activity. Like, don't let your saboteur use this as an activity, as an opportunity to beat yourself up. And so what you do with it is you actually like give your saboteur a physical presence, right? Is it a man or a woman? Is it an animal? Is it a symbol of some kind? Give it a name if you want to, like, put details around it. What does your saboteur wear? And then become aware of, like, what are its favorite sayings? Like, what are its favorite beliefs? You know, how does it dress? How does it wear its hair? If it were on national television and it was being interviewed about what its job was, what its role was in your life, like, what would it say? And so really just kind of flesh out, like, who this person or this thing is and give some details around it. So would it help to have an example of, I have two really strong saboteurs. Would it help to have an example of, like, when I did this exercise, what I came up with?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. So I have two, and one is the mean librarian. And she, like, has those little high heels that go click, 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 like on the linoleum floor. And she wears, like, skirts that cinch at her waist with, you know, shirts that are buttoned up and her hair is like a little helmet. And she's totally about like, you know, you have to do it right and you have to follow the rules. And, you know, if you're going to be successful, this is what you have to do. And she has, you know, I don't even at this point, like, what are her favorite sayings? I think I've illuminated some of those for you. And my other one I would describe is a squirmy worm, right? So it comes in on the back end, like after I've done something really brave, I've taken a big step, I've, you know, challenge somebody in a meeting or something, and it'll come back on the back end and be like, yep, that was a bad idea. You know, you're going to pay a price for this. And it sort of turns me into this, like, you know, my saboteur is like this squirmy worm that's like, oh, you're not, you know, I'm going to turn what you just did from a brave thing or from, you know, a really competent thing into something that you really want to doubt or question. And so I share those strategies. You can see like that there's a variety. I have a friend of mine I did this exercise with, and her saboteur was a dollar sign. So there's like a wide open range of possibilities here. And so really just let yourself have fun with this exercise. It'll take you, you know, if you're super detailed, 30 minutes at the most. You know, if you're really super detailed and you really want to dive in, maybe an hour, but I don't expect this exercise to take that long. So don't let your saboteur make up that you don't have the time. And so I want to share as we, you know, we still have a few minutes, and I want to share some strategies for handling your saboteur, because the truth is that they're going to be with you forever. They're never going to disappear. They're always going to follow you around. They will get weaker over time as you are taking more steps towards what you want. And then you're going to, you know, you'll be leveling up and doing something else that's really brave. And then your saboteurs are going to kick in again at a different level. And so they're always with you. And so it's useful to have some strategies for how to handle your saboteurs. So the first one we're already doing right now, and you've already started this process, which is to build awareness. Shine some sunshine on them and take a look and see, like, what is this saboteur? What kind of saboteur is it? What does it say to me? The biography is going to be a really big help in creating that for yourself and in really deepening that awareness. Another strategy that's popular, I use it sometimes. I have some others that I'll be giving you here in a minute that are really my favorites, but you can remove them, right? So kind of like what you did, Teresa, in your interview, you know, your saboteur pipes up in the middle of the interview, and you were kind of like, you know what, we're just not doing this right now. Like, thank you for your input, and you can just go away. Like, we're not playing that game, so now's not a good time. And so you can actually talk to them in a way that just sets them aside. You can literally be like, you know what, you don't have a place here right now, and I'm actually sending you away. So you can go wait in the garage, or I'm going to send you on an all-expense-paid trip to Tahiti. I have a coach who has a daycare center for saboteurs, and you can send your saboteur to her daycare center where it can like glue and paste and put glitter on things and hang out, right, until you're ready to have them back. So you can literally just decide to remove them from the situation in a variety of ways. Another one, which Cheryl, you were already exercising as well, is to make them funny, right? You saw them and you're just like, the recognition of it is like, this is hilarious. I cannot believe, right, that I'm doing this again. Or I can't believe that, you know, this, here I go. Oh God, isn't that hilarious? Thank you, saboteur. You're hysterical, right? So just allow yourself to have a sense of humor about it. Because your saboteur is going to want you to go all judgmental, right? Like, well, here's your saboteur again. Here, I'm doing it again. And that's just like your saboteur feeding your saboteur. And so allowing it to just be kind of hilarious. Yep, there it goes. I did it again, right? In your full, you know, sort of human gloriousness. The three strategies that I find the most powerful are these three. And so one is to listen for the 2% truth. So this kind of goes along with that sense that your saboteur is sort of a strength on overdrive. Your saboteur has also taken something that's important to you and hijacked it in some way. So, you know, doing excellent work is really important to me, and my saboteur has hijacked it. And so you go back to the example of the webinar that I gave earlier when I did my first webinar. If I look for the 2% truth, and my saboteur and your saboteurs are going to want you to look for the 78% truth or the 100% truth, but really it's only a tiny little shred of truth. The truth is I was doing something new. I'd never done a webinar before. Like, of course that's scary. And when you can acknowledge what that little tiny piece of truth is and listen to your saboteur and be like, there, there, honey, I listened to you, it can quiet your saboteur down. I like to think of it, if you've ever interacted with a three-year-old or with a new puppy and they're just like, now, 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 I want your attention. Play ball with me. Come see the blocks in the living room. Come on, come on. How about now? And you're like, no, 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 I'm busy with something. And they're like, no, how about now? And they're just never going to let you go. But when you stop and you listen to the three-year-old, or you go into the living room and look at the blocks, or you throw the ball around with the puppy for a few minutes, it'll move on and do its own thing. And so you can do that same thing with your saboteur by listening to its 2% truth. And I caution you, it is not a 50% truth or a 90% truth. It is a 2% truth. I have two more. So far, are you guys tracking with this?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. One of my mentors said this to me when I asked her about this. I'm like, how do you quiet those voices? How do you quiet those saboteurs? And she said the number one thing she can say is get involved in something you love. Get absorbed in something that's really meaning and purposeful for you. And when you're absorbed in that purposeful activity, that stretch, that thing that you really are enjoying or you really believe in, your saboteur just doesn't have as much room to come in. So I love that one. And then here's one of my, also one that's been very effective for me, particularly with my squirmy worm. And that is to figure out a strategy that helps you head your saboteur off the past. And what I mean by that is you become, whoops.
Christina, can you repeat that? There was some interference.
I'm muting. Sandra, I'm muting you because I think it's on yours. And I'll say that again. Thanks, Karen. So raise your hand, like click star 2 if you need to raise your hand, Sandra. So what I said was to head them off at the pass. So once you become aware of when your saboteur shows up and sort of what it says to you, you can put strategies in place that preempt them before they even have an opportunity to show up. So let me give you an example of one way that I do that. So when I was a new coach and I was actually for a few years in the beginning of my coaching, it's not so true now, even though I still do the same practice. My squirmy worm saboteur would come in after every single coaching session practically and be like, you know, you suck. Like, your client didn't get anything out of that session. Like, I know you did the best you could, but it wasn't good enough. And they walked away with nothing. And so I put a process in place where at the end of every session, I would ask my client, what are you taking away from this session? And that served two purposes. One is it serves my clients, which is why I've kept this practice, right? It serves them because they're able to articulate for themselves like the nuggets that they're getting out of it so that they can walk away with those things. It creates some stickiness. But the second purpose it does is it gives my saboteur no legs to stand on because my client has just told me what they're taking away. They've just told me the value they've gotten out of the session, and that stops, like my saboteur can't even come in and say anything because I've preempted it. I've headed it off at the pass. I've stopped it before it even had a chance to get started. Does that make sense, Karen?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, awesome. So when you do the biography and you start to really become aware of when your saboteur shows up, you can put practices in place that catch it before it even has a chance to get started. So as you do this homework and you think about these strategies, you all are going to have questions. You're going to have things come up, awarenesses. Use the Facebook group. Use each other. But really, like, articulate sort of like your discoveries around this, because we all share saboteurs and many of you share similar kinds of saboteurs. And so your learning is going to be useful to everybody else as you start to navigate this and to bring more awareness to this for yourself. So we are getting close to the end of our time, so I'm going to stop there and just do a couple housekeeping items, and then we're going to go around and do what we always do, which is our one word that we're taking away at the end of this call. So we are going to have, you know, a few weeks off. I actually think, let me just double check, I think it's 3, which is kind of a long time. So we have the holidays, and let me just see when we're back. Yep. And then I wanted to give you guys like a week in your lives after the holidays to sort of get yourself in order before we start our calls again. So our next call is going to be on the 11th of January. So it's quite a ways away. So lean into your buddies, lean into other people in the group, like go for a walk. Those of you in Seattle, like get together, like whatever you need to do to keep this alive. I will be in the Facebook group. So use the Facebook group. Work on your saboteur biography, work on your year-end evaluation, schedule private sessions with me. So I will be seeing clients privately that first week of January, starting January 3rd. There is time open on my calendar. Feel free to go in and grab private sessions with me to process your year-end eval so that you don't have, you know, if you're feeling like 3 weeks is a long time away, that's a great week to start getting back into it. I think I said this, but I will be in the Facebook group. So absolutely, like, use that as a way to keep the momentum and to keep the continuity for yourself. All right, I think that's all I have at this moment. And so I want to just go around and everyone say your one word as we close. One word about what you're walking away with today. And Sandra, I'm unmuting you so that you can throw in your word.
I'm going to say peace.
Awesome.
I'm going to say confusion.
Creativity.
Mandy, that was you?
Mandy.
Yeah, great. Alexis, Teresa, Chris, Karen. Doesn't have to be the perfect word.
Awareness.
Awesome.
Allies.
Fabulous.
I'm going to go with acceptance.
Lovely. Alexis?
Yeah, that was me. I said acceptance.
Oh, you said acceptance. I thought that was Karen. All right, Karen, bring us home.
Probably just awareness.
Fabulous. So thank you, powerful rebel women. I will see you in the Facebook group. Seriously, stuff's going to bubble up now that we've talked about this. And so throw your questions out there, throw your observations, your confusions, all of that. Bring it to the Facebook group and we will keep the conversation going.
Fabulous.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great holiday.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye.